Welcome to Season 11 of Productivity Paradox with Tanya Dalton, a podcast focused on finding true fulfillment and happiness through the power of productivity. Join Tanya this season as she explores the theme of small changes for big impact. To get her free checklist, 5 minutes to peak productivity, simply go to tanyadalton.com/podcast. And now, here's your host, Tanya Dalton.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Productivity Paradox. I'm your host, Tanya Dalton, and this is episode 143, How to Realistically Make the Leap. It's hard to believe, but this is the last episode of season 11, where we've been talking all season long about small changes for a big impact. We've covered a lot this season in an effort to help you realize sometimes it's the small actions that have the really big effect in our lives and in the lives of other people. So today, we are going to close out our small changes for big impact season by talking about making the leap. That's right, taking the plunge, jumping off the ledge, going for broke. Call it whatever you want it. But before you actually take that leap in hopes of soaring to new heights or making a big impact, first, we're going to talk about how to do it strategically. How you can make a plan and assess the risks so that you don't feel like you're jumping into the vast unknown with a very little preparation. Plus, we're going to talk more about that four-letter F word we've discussed in other episodes, fear. Fear is not always your enemy, I promise. We'll discuss how to overcome the fears we're all faced with, and when we're about to take our journey into that uncharted territory, boy, there can be a lot of fear around. So we're going to touch on that once again. And the idea, too, of starting with the end in mind, so you can sort of reverse engineer a plan to help you minimize the risks. So, let's make the leap and jump right in, shall we? Okay, so first of all, I know I'm encouraging you to make a leap, or whatever it is that you've been dreaming about doing. It could be that you want to start a business that you've had in the works for a while, or maybe you've been thinking of starting a new job, or making a career shift. Maybe it's just a full life change or something else. It doesn't matter what it is. What I'm asking you to do is don't do it blindly. You would never expect someone to just jump in head first, right? I mean, my grandparents lived on a lake and we were always taught to never dive in head first because you can't see what's below. You have to first scout the water, then you can dive in. And if the waters are too murky, you might have to go in slowly, feet first, and explore things just a little bit before you dive in full force. And even if the waters aren't murky, you still should proceed with caution. Otherwise, if you leap without looking, you might dive into a shallow pool, and that wouldn't end well at all, right? So we really want to make sure that we're taking the time to really assess what it is we're wanting to do. And I feel the same way about things in life. If you're unsure of something, it doesn't mean you should just not do it. Sometimes we take that feeling in our stomach where it's like, oh gosh, this makes me feel nervous or scared. And we think, oh boy, that means this is a no-go. It means I should totally not do it. It might just mean that you need to examine some different angles of this thing that you're wanting to do and decide what the best approach is. Make a plan so you can feel more confident about jumping in. I cannot tell you how much that builds my confidence to know that I've got a plan in place. And you know, even the best laid plans don't always work out. But I know at least if I've thought it through that it's a real possibility that this thing I'm wanting to do can really happen. And yes, there might need to be a pivot or two, but that's okay. Really, part of the point of a plan is building up that confidence of really feeling like you can do it. Because a lot of times that underlying fear or that questioning of ourselves makes us really wonder if we're really supposed to do it. Making a plan builds that confidence in. Remember, we're trying to get from point A, which is where you are now, to point B, which is where you want to go. But we're not living in an episode of Star Trek. Scotty's not going to beam you up from point A to point B. You actually have to make the journey. You have to trudge through the ups and the downs. And there's going to be some highs and some lows, some mountains and some valleys on our path. Some steps are going to be really big, and some are going to be really small. And sometimes you'll get to a place in your journey where you're going to find yourself on a ledge. maybe at a crossroads, a risk you have to take. So, do you take a leap of faith, or do you stay where you are, frozen in fear of what might happen if you take the leap? That's where planning comes into play. That's when it really helps us to feel like, okay, maybe it's not really a safety net, but I feel a little more secure knowing where it is I want to go and how I ideally want to get there. See, I don't think you should leap without looking. Look around. See if there's a way to build a bridge. Maybe find a path so you can walk off that ledge and get to the other side. That's what we really want to do when we talk about creating that plan. And here's the truth. Risks, well, they're scary. I mean, there's a reason why they're a risk. We don't want to fail, though. We don't want to fall on our face. We worry about looking stupid or feeling foolish. And so we let those risks outweigh the rewards. Instead of pushing past our fears and taking those risks, we let all of the negative what-ifs stop us in our tracks. What if this happens, or what if that happens? And we start going this path of these what-ifs that's far worse than probably what could really happen. And instead of letting that fear stop you, I'd like to challenge you to take some time to calculate the real risk of your actions. We've touched on this in the past when we've talked about the fear of failure. We let our imagination go wild, don't we, when it comes to the what-ifs? But many times, if you sit down and you actually write out the worst-case scenario of something, you'll discover that the worst outcome might not be so bad. And maybe you're just blowing it up to these epic proportions when it's not really that big of a deal. Because here's the truth with a lot of risk. It's filled with a lot of unknowns. It's kind of like when you're in a dark room and every noise you hear, you think could be, you know, someone breaking into the house or something really scary, when it really is just the house settling or the cat like jumping up on the bed. And it's not that big of a deal, but our imagination runs wild. And that's what happens when it comes to risk. And here's the question. Is it really the end of the world if we take a risk and it doesn't work out? I would say no, because even if something fails, there are valuable life lessons and learnings that you take with you to the next adventure. But guess what? What if it does work out? Well, then obviously it'll be worth the risk. So maybe we need to remember to give ourselves a little bit of flexibility, a little bit of grace. And maybe we need to remember to assess the positive outcomes of taking a risk. Too often, we only worry and fear for the worst, and we forget to focus on the positives. We get so fixated and fearful for the worst, we forget what is all the good that can happen from this. We let our imagination run wild with the terrible side, and we get fixated on that what-if question. But let's let our imagination run wild about the amazing side of it. What if you succeed? What if you create something incredible? What if? I mean, the possibilities are endless. The sky is the limit, especially with the positives, just as much as it is with the negatives. So I would also challenge you to factor in the risk of taking no action. There's risk involved with that as well. The risk isn't just from taking the opportunity. The risk also comes in not taking the opportunity. In fact, Mark Zuckerberg said it pretty well. He says, "The biggest risk is not taking any risk. In a world that's changing really quickly, the only strategy that is guaranteed to fail is not taking risks." Doing nothing isn't going to get you any closer to success or happiness in life, is it? And according to Tim Ferriss, risk is an unavoidable constant of life. So your focus should be on taking the right kinds of risks that offer the right kinds of opportunities. You see, too often we fixate on that word risk and we think it's so scary, but what about the right kind of risk for the right opportunities? This is that idea we explored a few episodes back when I shared a chapter from my book, The Joy of Missing Out, where we talked about the finding your yes, that it's not about saying no, and it's not about saying yes, it's about finding the yeses that are right for you. The right risks, the right kind of opportunities, that's really what we should be looking for. So maybe the questions we should be asking ourselves are things like, which risk is worth taking? Which risk would bring me more happiness in my life? or which risk would pay off more in the long run. You see, when you compare two things, it's sometimes easier to choose the one that's less risky, because it seems, well, safe. But the other way to reframe this is which one has the most reward. So if one opportunity has less risk but also less reward, it's not necessarily the better choice. If you have a chance to reap higher rewards on a slightly riskier opportunity. So don't just think about the risk. I want you to think about the reward. It's not just about the negative, but also about the positive. It's not about saying no, it's about finding your yes. So in just a minute, what I want to do is I want to talk about four things that you can do to embrace taking risks and tackling your fears. But first, a quick word from today's sponsor. Today's episode has been brought to you by Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment, including Audible Originals, which are stories created exclusively for audio, including documentaries, exclusive audiobooks, and scripted shows that you can't hear anywhere else. And what's great is that with the convenient Audible app, you can really listen anytime, anywhere, and on any device. So whether you're at the gym, out shopping, or just traveling, anytime you can't read, you can listen with Audible. And Audible members every month can choose one audiobook regardless of price, as well as two Audible originals from a fresh selection. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/paradox or text the word paradox to 500-500. And don't forget, too, you can get the audiobook version of The Joy of Missing Out, which is narrated by, well, yours truly, on Audible. So be sure to check it out. I even have a secret podcast episode that's exclusively on the Audible version of my book. So once again, visit audible.com/paradox or text the word paradox to 500-500. Okay, so before the break, I said I was going to share with you four things to consider as you're assessing risks and you're creating a plan to realistically make the leap into something. So let's start with number one, embrace taking some small risks. So often we feel like to make the impact we want to make, it has to be something huge. It has to be this big, gigantic risk. And here's the truth. Not all leaps have to be giant running leaps across the Grand Canyon. They can just be small little jumps, and that's okay too. And especially if you're worried about taking risks, one thing to consider would be to try some smaller things that are risky and outside of your comfort zone that aren't detrimental to you if you do them. Try a few of these smaller risks, things that you perceive as risky but aren't quite as big, and that'll help you gain the courage you need to then take on bigger challenges when the risk is higher. Let me put this in perspective for you. Going to a bingo hall and paying a couple of bucks for a few bingo cards means you might risk losing a small handful of money and not winning anything. No big deal, right? But it's a much lower scale risk than, say, heading to Vegas, putting $1,000 on the roulette wheel, right? But maybe after a few trips to the bingo hall, you start to feel a little more confident, a little more comfortable with risks, and then you take that bachelorette trip to Vegas with your friends in a few months, and then you feel a little more confident with your gambling skills. You see what I mean? Not that I think gambling is the risk we really want to focus on, but that's a simple example. The idea of taking a risk with a couple of bucks versus taking risk with a higher amount, with a bigger payoff, a bigger reward, but also a lot bigger risk. So let's apply that idea to what you want to do. Do you, let's say, want to quit your job and start writing a book, but you're worried about getting published? So try starting smaller. What's that bingo hall look like? Well, why don't you try sending some articles to magazine editors first? Get a few wins under your belt. Build up your confidence with your writing and your ability to edit and to go back and forth with these editors. And then maybe then you'll feel confident to take that leap to become a writer full time. Or here's another one. Want to run a marathon? Run some 5Ks first, then build it up to a 10K. Start slowly building your confidence up that you can run a race and finish it. all that will do is continue to build over time again and again that yes, you are capable. Yes, you can do it. Yes, risk can be scary, but you have crushed it in the past and you can crush it again. Here's the truth. We need those breadcrumbs. We need that evidence. We need that belief in ourselves to really feel good taking those steps forward. In fact, in a study on risk-taking and decision-making, entrepreneur researcher Norris Kruger Jr. and strategic marketing professor Peter Dickinson discovered that small, measured risk-taking behaviors can increase confidence and self-efficacy. Self-efficacy is your belief in your ability to solve a problem, to reach a goal or complete a task, and basically to achieve what you set out to do. It's essentially that positive, I think I can attitude that enhances your goal achievement. We think big moves have to happen fast. We believe that overnight successes are really overnight successes. But most people will tell you that overnight really means years and years of groundwork happening quietly behind the scenes. No one is an overnight success, even if it seems like they are. And people that you look at who feel like they've taken really big risks, they've built up that self-efficacy. They've built up that ability to believe in themselves that when they take these risks, they're going to be okay. And even if they fail, they know they're going to be okay. And that brings us to number two, remembering that fear isn't always bad. Remember, with taking risks, that big obstacle we have to overcome is that four-letter F word, fear. And fear isn't always bad. Fear is an important part of how our body works. It's there to protect us and to keep us safe. And there are a lot of times where that fear really can save us from danger. It's what makes us pause for a moment when we're feeling uneasy about something. And that's okay. We are never going to get rid of 100% of our fear. We don't really want to. Fear is something to embrace. But we have to remember, fear is not necessarily a sign that we absolutely shouldn't do something. It's just a sign that what we're asking ourselves to do feels really big. And so, yeah, it might feel scary. There might be some fear involved. But don't forget, we can reframe fear as excitement. We talked about that a few episodes back. We don't always have to focus in on believe that those feelings that we feel with our gut and maybe sweating and sweaty palms and heavy breathing, that doesn't necessarily have to be fear talking. Sometimes that's excitement. We can confuse the two because they feel exactly the same in our bodies. We don't always have to focus on the dangers associated with fear we're experiencing. Fear can be our bodies reacting to something big. Doesn't mean we have to run and hide. Fear can sometimes mean you're on the right path. Now, I've heard some people say that if you have goals that don't scare you, they're not big enough. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think all goals are good goals, regardless of size. Small changes for big impact, right? That's this whole season. They don't have to be big. They don't have to be gigantic. But I do like the idea of not being turned off by a feeling just of nervousness or apprehension. Taking the time to assess that fear, like we discussed, can really help put those scary thoughts aside and help you feel a little more at ease. Tip number three is know that you're gonna fail. It's true. I know that seems harsh maybe, but it's true. Every successful entrepreneur, every successful risk taker experiences failure along the way. Small, medium, and ginormous ones. I know this myself because I've had plenty of failures on my way to success. So know that failure is always a possibility in everything you do. And then come up with a plan on how to handle failures when you're faced with them. Being mentally prepared for the possibility of failure, that's going to help you make positive risk-taking decisions. And that way, you won't automatically find yourself terrified and blindsided when it comes to taking risks because those failures won't come as a complete surprise to you. You'll learn from these failures. The Beatles were turned down by 3 record labels before they were signed. And those failures pushed them and drove them to keep moving and testing out new things. They were one of the most innovative bands of their generation. Some might argue ever. But would they have pushed themselves to innovate if success had come easily? Maybe not. You have to realize everyone fails, every single one of us. If you never fail, you aren't really trying. You're not putting your neck out there and testing out the waters. Failure is inevitable. The only way to avoid failure is to never even try. And not trying? That is true failure. And my fourth tip is to start with the end in mind. When you are making a plan to work through your risk and your rewards, don't forget to start with the end. Envisioning your future self or what your end game will look like, that will help you carve out a more concise path to get there. Try to embrace, too, a pay it forward mentality, meaning you won't always directly benefit from your efforts or the impact you make. Sometimes you won't even see it at all, but we all make a difference. We all make an impact. Sometimes the work we do is a benefit to others around us. And the work we do now is going to allow that to happen in the future. I mean, think about things like the space program in the 50s and the 60s. All of those people who knew they would never get to the moon themselves, but they continued to work on that one common goal, testing out the sound barrier, making small trips to different layers of the atmosphere, pushing themselves all along knowing they themselves would never put their feet on the lunar surface. But they did it because they had the end in mind. They wanted us to get a person on the moon. And even with that, that's not the full end goal, is it? We're working now to get a person on Mars because of the moon landing. You see, sometimes the impact we're making can't be seen right away. Our blast radius is so big, it stretches on into the future and beyond ourselves. We have to keep that in mind. This is cathedral thinking. This is a similar idea in that sometimes you know you're not going to be around long enough to see the impact you might make on future generations. You see, back in the day of building beautiful cathedrals and towers, builders often knew that the fruits of their labor wouldn't be finished or fully realized for decades, maybe even centuries, after they're gone. But that didn't matter to them. What mattered to them was that their contribution would make a difference. Their blast radius was going to be much bigger than they ever were going to see. And I want you to keep that in mind. Don't be so fixated on seeing the impact of immediately having this gratification. Sometimes it takes a while, but no matter who you are or what you do, you are making an impact. We talked about that last week, that every single one of us has the ability to affect the lives of everyone else around us. And if you remember, we said that's up to 80,000 people whose lives we can touch just in our regular everyday life. Here's what I want to leave you with this season. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. Martin Luther King Jr. saw that. And I believe that is true. It really is that belief in yourself, the belief that what you do matters, that gets you to take the next step, even when you don't know what the end holds. We can wish for a crystal ball, or we can say that we wish we knew what was going to happen in the path ahead. But if we knew everything, it might scare us to death, or we wouldn't believe it. So know that having faith, having belief in yourself, really does make a difference. And that's what I hope you'll take away from you with this season on small changes for big impact. I really hope that the episodes we've had throughout this entire season have opened your eyes and your mind to see little things can make a big impact in your life and the lives of others. Small actions can lead to bigger actions and bigger wins. So I hope that you will stop waiting for someday and make the leap. Make the impact you want in your life. Now, as you know, every season we tackle a different topic for all 13 episodes. And next season, season 12, is going to be incredible. I am so excited about the topic. And it's a whole different format, something we have never done on the show. And that's what I am most excited about. So be sure to tune in next week for a whole new topic and a whole new season. Are you ready for this? Because I cannot wait. And in the meantime, while you're waiting for season 12 to start, head on over to Barnes & Noble or Target or Amazon. Pick yourself up a copy of The Joy of Missing Out. My book is out now. I would love for you to get a copy. I would love for you to become a part of the conversation. We've got some fun things in store, including a virtual book club. We're going to be doing some fun Facebook Lives, all kinds of things heading your way as we dive into the book together. So you can go to joyofmissingout.com to get all the information on where the book is sold, but really anywhere books are sold, you can grab yourself a copy. All right, until next time, have a beautiful and productive week.
Thanks for listening to Productivity Paradox. Now, we'd love to have you join the conversation. To join Tanya's free group, simply go to tanyadalton.com/group.